Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are starting the chapter More About Alcoholism. And we're going to be reading and commenting on the very first paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 steps. For the 12 steps, we have Anne Marie M. For the 12 traditions, we have Audrey M. P. And then our other readers are Lorraine M., Brandy M., Wendy B., Matt F. will be here to greet our newcomers and take a numbers from available sponsors a little later on after the stop the recording. And then Robin P. will close us out with some announcements. So thank you all for your incredible service. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, and that would be for January 13th, is 16184. That's 16,184. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for January 14th is 16196. That's 16,196. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Anne Marie M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Anne Marie M., a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne-Marie M. Thank you very much. And I'll now ask Audrey M. P. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thanks, Elaine B., and good morning, Team Thursday. I'm Audrey M. P. from California, and these are the 12 traditions. Oh, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. These are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a living God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Audrey M.P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. And also, if you have shared in the last couple of days, we ask that you would hold off on sharing so we can hear from others. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify ourselves as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everybody's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're starting a chapter more about alcoholism on page 30, and we'll be reading and commenting on paragraph 1. I will ask Lorraine N. to please read for us.
Good morning. This is Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. More about alcoholism. Most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. No person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. Therefore, it is not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. Wow. Well, there it is, in a nutshell, the great obsession. I bristled when I read this the first several times. I did not want to be in that category. The great obsession continued. And thank God AA gave us these principles that we could apply it to our disease of compulsive overeating. Because I was pursuing this, the insanity, and was a slow death. I was insane, and my life was diminished in every way. And so it was a slow, agonizing death. For me, I had to get humble before God, and someone I call my honorary sponsor came over to me when we were still having live meetings and said, Lorraine, why don't you read this passage in the first person? You know, I'm an addict. And where it says alcohol and alcoholism substitute thinking, my thoughts and my thinking. So for me, you know, I did not want to think that my thinking was twisted. I just prided myself on my thinking. So for me, it was all about surrender, my defiance. I just didn't even know how defiant I was. And I knew, I said at one point to God, I lifted up my hands and said, I can't heal my sick mind with my sick mind. I have to have you. And I don't know how. Show me how to love you. I want to know you. I want to love you. And I don't know how. And I'm crazy. You know, I am. So, you know, I am at my what I call beginner's mind, and I hope I always stay in beginner's mind. I take step one every day now. I acknowledge my powerlessness over my addiction and my twisted thinking, you know. So anyway, to the still suffering compulsive overeaters on the line, stick around. I've been doing visions in earnest for almost a year, and I said to someone the other day, the changes have been remarkable, and he smiled at me and said, that remarkable is God working in your life. So I'm just so grateful to be here with all of you and reading this chapter from the very beginning again. Thanks. With that, I'll pass. Looking forward to everyone's shares and blessings on us all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lorraine, and what a great start. So though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on the first paragraph of More About Alcoholism, please star one to unmute and give me your name.
I heard Barbara E.
And Roz, and I'm afraid the rest was all just came in at once. Who else would like to
Chris
share?
Chris A. from California.
Chris A.
Karen Melanie C.
I heard Karen T., Melanie C., Eileen M., and let's stop there. Okay, Mo, I'll start you on the next lineup, but that's all the names I'm going to take right now. So, Eileen and, oh my goodness, there was one more in there. Oh, yep, I got it. Okay. All right, this is the lineup that we've got going here. Barbara E., Roz G., Chris A., I believe, from California, Karen T., Melanie C., and Eileen. I'll need your first initial of your last name, and then we'll take some more that'll be topped off by Mo H. Okay, so Barbara E., please go ahead, and if you're not Barbara E., please press star 1 to mute your phone so you have a nice quiet line, and you'll be followed by Roz G. Please go ahead, Barbara.
Well, you're correct. I am Barbara E. I'm from the state of confusion, better known as New Jersey, and I love starting a new paragraph, a new chapter in the book, because this is a textbook, and the first time I read it to learn it, but the second time I read it to live it. And the words illusion and delusion are often used interchangeably and were a bit confusing to me. The illusions I learned pertain to my mind, and the delusions pertain to a belief. Illusion can be said to be what fools the mind, but a delusion are things that an individual perceives to be contrary to all evidence. And I was replete with delusions. My delusion was that someday I'd control my eating with no consequences. That was my great obsession. I tried everything, all kinds of controlling my eating, gluten-free, intermittent fasting, pay-and-weigh, psychologist, pills, shots, and I always got to goal because I was a good student. But I immediately gained the 100-plus pounds back within 6 months, bringing more pounds with me. Yet I persisted in the delusion that now I could control in moderation, because that's what I was told. Only one cookie, one candy bar, one pint of ice cream. Who was I kidding? Delusional behavior, what was the evidence showed to me. And when a neurologist suggested I have my jaw wired shut, that was when God sent my Ebby, named Betty, into my life. And I went to my first OA meeting, and I heard about the three-legged stool. And that's when I surrendered, and I've never regretted it. The three-legged stool, emotional, spiritual, and physical, have saved my life. And it can save yours too, because I can tell you thin isn't well, because I just took myself with me, and I was not a nice person to be around. The devil's incarnate were with me. But I believe that when I went to my first OA meeting, I learned something important. My disease wanted me dead or suffering, and I couldn't control it. I had to concede. That three-legged stool, which had at first seemed so unnecessary to me, was the missing link that I enabled to access this power by connecting to my... Thank you. I'll just finish. My connecting to my higher power. Thank God for another day to do my best to learn to be teachable and grow. Thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you very much, Barbara E. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Chris A. Please go ahead, Roz.
Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Roz G. I live in Palmdale, California, about an hour north of Los Angeles, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. God, this chapter is so freaking powerful. Oh man, I'd like to take this from through the eyes of the exercise bulimic today. So when I first started going to OA in 2002 in face-to-face meetings, I sat in a circle of women who were generally overweight, and I was too, but they were bigger than me. Of course, this is my arrogance and my judgmentalness talking right now. And I wasn't as overweight as them, and I didn't reach over 200 pounds, so I'm not like you. Why the hell am I in the meeting then? So freaking crazy. So the exercise bulimia was the delusional thinking, the obsessive control, because I could eat what I wanted to eat, and I could exercise it off, so I could eat, I could look normal. But this was an illusion, and so astonishing that in later years, up until the last few years, I had to have two different surgeries, one on my foot from overrunning, my heel from overrunning and having plantar fasciitis. Well, overweight and overrunning contributed to that. And then continuing to run after the surgery, and then having shoulder surgery, doing too many lifting weights and doing too much strenuous exercise, you know, injured my shoulder. And then after months of healing from that, going back. And that's what it's like, insanity. So I'm so grateful for the still small voice that spoke to me while I was doing chest presses one day that said, "Do you want to have a functioning arm?" In some words like that inside my head. It was a, you know, I was already in the program and I was already working the steps, but something happened that day. And I stopped and I got a sponsor and we got a food plan and an exercise plan that is sane, and I count myself as one of you. I am no longer, oh, that's not me. That is me, because, and unfortunately and fortunately, I had to go through the insane experiences to get there. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rajji. Okay, Chris A., you're up next, and you're followed by Karen T. Chris A., California, I believe.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I am a compulsive overeater. When it says no person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows, I don't like that fact, but from a very, very young age, I was painfully aware of how different my relationship with food was, because every event, every activity, every experience with food, I had a constant mental narrative going on in my head. Either it was trying to, and this was young, probably 5, 6 years old, constantly battling in my mind about not wanting to eat too much of something, or how am I going to sneak another piece of that? And so, you know, at 56, I've known for a long time, I do not have a normal relationship with food. And over the years, I've definitely had many attempts to have a normal relationship with food, to refrain from compulsive eating. And I've definitely had successes for periods of time. And some of those successes were based on my willpower. Some were, strict restrictions with someone holding me accountable. Others were definitely healthy times of relying on God and his strength and his power. But then when it goes further down in the paragraph and it says, countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people, the idea that somehow someday he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker or eater. And for me, I've seen that happen in my life, but specifically in the last couple of years, I had almost 2 years of a very, what I thought, healthy abstinence and lots of recovery, not working the steps. I was in OA maybe in my early 20s for a short period of time, and now I'm just recently coming back. But I've kind of been like that person with maybe some kind of mental illness where a person can be healthy as long as they're taking their medication. But then once they start feeling good for a long period of time, they can convince themselves they don't need the medication. And that's kind of where I'm coming out of right now in this last year, where I had a period long enough where I forgot that I can't be a normal eater. And I'm hoping that I'm at the place now that I'm finally at a place where I'm not going to forget, that I will never be cured, but I can be recovered by allowing God to give me his strength and his power and surrendering. And I haven't ever fully worked through the steps. And so I know that that's a piece that I need to add. So I want to thank all of you for being here, because I do want to surround myself with people who are strong in recovery. And I definitely have hope. I know I can do this.
Gentle reminder.
And I thank you and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris A. All right, Karen T., you are up next, followed by Melanie C. Please go ahead, Karen.
Hello, this is Karen T. From New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, day at a time. And I'm so excited reading this today. I went to an OA meeting yesterday, and it was just two of us, and the other person was a newcomer. And the meeting has a leader's choice type component to it. Anyway, so we read the first part of More About Alcoholism. And because I love this, especially when working with newcomers. I am bodily and mentally different from my fellows. And I don't like to think so. Just like the previous speaker said, I don't want it, I don't like it, but I have to do it. I believe that's true as much for compulsive eaters as it is for alcoholics. I think there's something wrong with my body and something wrong with my mind. And this is what the Big Book teaches, an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. So I am bodily and mentally different. I have found for myself certain alcoholic foods and food behaviors which set up a phenomenon of craving for me. So that's why my body is different. A normal eater can eat the foods that I can't, and they don't get the same reaction that I do. And then I am mentally different from my fellows as well. There's something about my mind which wants me to forget that I am a compulsive eater and wants me to think that I can eat these foods in a careless, nonchalant manner, pick them back up again, and then be right back into the allergy of the body and the phenomenon of craving. So the 12 steps help me to recover. And when I say I'm recovered, it's because my mind has been healed. So I am bodily and mentally different from my fellows, but through this miracle of the 12 steps, my mind has been healed. I've been restored to sanity. And the sane thought for me is, there's something wrong with my body. There are certain foods and foods behaviors that I will never be able to eat. And I'm okay with that. It's fine with me. I have learned these things are poison for me. And I love myself today. And so why would I want to take something that's poisonous to me? And that is a miracle of mental logic for me. Because I, in my mind, I'm sorry, I just got totally distracted. So anyway, I'm bodily and mentally different from my fellows. And
gentle reminder.
Oh, good. I'm so done. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Karen T. Okay, Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Eileen, and I think it's C, but you can let me know. Thanks so much. Please go ahead, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. And I was just going, oh, here's a story on this line. Oh, here's a story on this line. So I wanted to kind of take it apart a little bit like that, unwilling to admit that I was a real alcoholic, a real compulsive overeater. I was 2.5-3 years into recovery, entirely abstinent, and still did not believe I was an addict. For goodness sakes, I wasn't an addict. I could certainly relate to lots of things that y'all were doing, but I wasn't an addict. Took a bit to travel from my head to my heart. I think that spoke more about my insanity, step two issue, than it did anything else. But I wanted to be happy to report today that you don't have to believe that you are. As long as you follow the directions, you'll get what it is that was given to me, and the ability to stay longer. All those things are given to me, and I'm very, very grateful for that. And the memory of that, it certainly lets me smile at my folly around that sort of thing. And I could dot all of the days of my life with the amount of attempts that I took to address the food thing. And the mental problem that I had, it was real clear to me that I was off center with my thinking and off center with my emotions. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I tried many, many, many outside things in order to address that sort of idea. It wasn't until I came into these rooms that I could put it all together and see that I just had maltreatment for a disorder, a disability, an addiction process that I was treating with outside things. And I was grateful for that. But one of the funnier ones, I think, for me, was the control and enjoy. I tried to control and enjoy this thing. I had a friend that, most of my friends, of course, because I was a fat kid on the playground, were thin. And this particular person, as she grew in time, she would take in her lunch to her work environment a cup of green beans with about a half an ounce or an ounce of cheese melted over top of it. And that was her lunch. And she was just thin. I thought, oh, if I could be like her, well, heck back. I was taking a quarter green beans and probably an ounce, 8 ounces to an, or a pound of cheese I melted on top of mine because I was trying to control and enjoy, chasing the effect of something. And I can't tell you, oh, how funny that was to be able to not see the difference between the two of us at all whatsoever. But the other one is a particular diet that I was on, and we were at a pizzeria and my family was having all these pieces of pizza, and I had my little tiny piece, two pieces on this side, my little teeny tiny green salad and my little tiny salad dressing on the side, and I was controlling and enjoying, and I'd lost some weight, and I was looking fabulous, I thought. Oh, my gosh, what twisted thinking. And I could not attend to the people that are sitting across from me or the other two people on the other, either side of me, hoping that I was nodding in the right places and saying, uh-huh, in the right places of this conversation we were having. I didn't hear a thing they were saying because I was too worried about whatever people were eating, and I couldn't take any of that pizza home. Control and enjoy. Control and enjoy. The mental insanity of this particular disease is absolutely debilitating. I'm free of that and neutral around food. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Melanie C. Oh, wow, such great shares today. Eileen, is it Eileen C that was up next? And after your share, we are going to take another lineup on the first chapter of, I mean, the first paragraph and more about alcoholism. Eileen.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Eileen M. M is in Mary.
I couldn't read my own writing. Thank you, Eileen.
Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in New Hampshire. And I love this chapter. This is very powerful for me, these words. And all I can see in this paragraph is denial, because I was in denial in this, you know, in this program. And I thought that I only had the physical allergy and that, you know, it was only a matter of, okay, I just have to try to keep my alcoholic foods down. That's all I have to do. And, you know, I was given a food plan and told to follow it. And that's what I focused on. I focused on following the food plan and, you know, and going to meetings and that sort of thing. And, you know, like somebody said, I would get the effect from eating, trying to, you know, trying anything. Like, for example, I you know, abstained from sugar and flour. That was my abstinence. And, but I started, you know, over time trying to get the effect from, you know, healthy things that, like broccoli. I would overeat broccoli. You know, today, broccoli is not an alcoholic food for me. It does not trigger the craving. But I think I was just trying to get the effect of anything, and that my mental obsession would say, well, it's okay because it's not flour and sugar. But I still was acting out the compulsion, you know, and, you know, I would go to face-to-face meetings, and people really never said the word mental obsession. I never heard that until I opened the big book. People, you know, would say, okay, that they had a disease that told them that they did not have a disease. But, you know, I heard that over and over, but it didn't really mean anything to me. It didn't solve the problem for me. And, you know, I didn't know that my thinking was driving my obsession with food because, you know, it wasn't until, you know, I came to Vision for You meeting and I found someone in whom the problem had been solved, and she sat down with me and read the big book. We read the big book together. And, you know, when we got to that page where it says resentment is the number one offender, that really struck me because, you know, I had to really examine my thinking. Like, how do I think about situations? You know, my thinking is not normal because, you know, somebody else can have the same situation and react differently than I do. So, you know, I really had to examine that in the fourth step. And, you know, because I had the persistence of the illusion that someday I was going to be able to eat normally and that I did not have this. You know, so it was really helpful that someone explained to me, you have an obsession, mental obsession. And I just want to share, you know, that right before I found Vision, I was really struggling with abstinence. And I was at a friend's house one day, and I started eating dog bones. And I could tell you, dog bones taste horrible. And it was just, you know, I was just trying to get the effect. And meanwhile, my mind is saying, it's okay, it's not flour and sugar, it's okay, you're not overweight, you're thin, it's okay, you know, that whole, like, justifying thing. So I'm really, really grateful that I found this meeting. This meeting saved my life. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm grateful you did, too. I'm grateful we all did here on the line. Thank you so much. So although we value your experience, we ask you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience,
Terry
too. Terry Kay, I have three more spaces open. Who else would like to share?
W, Tennessee.
And B, and somebody W, Tennessee.
Susan L.
I had somebody W from Tennessee.
Chris with a K from Tennessee.
Okay. And Gloria S. Okay. that may take us right out of the meeting here. So I had Mo H. jumped in the lineup last time around, Terry K., Ann W., I hope I'm saying that right, and Chris W., and Gloria S. And if I made any errors, you can correct me when it's your turn to share.
And
if you're
B.
not Mo H., if you're not Mo, thanks, Ann B., if you're not Mo H., please press star one to unmute. Mo H., please, please share with us.
Good morning, Elaine. Good job. Stuff. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. So I have this chapter relabeled. I have it more about relapse. And it really is talking about the mental obsession that, or the mental twist that precedes that first bite, that my disease starts in my mind. And for years in the rooms, I did not know that. I didn't read this book like I am today. I am so grateful that my sponsor brought me to this. So I was one of these people that I didn't want to admit that I was a real compulsive eater. I was always in the rooms identifying out. I'm not as bad as you. I'm not as big as you. I don't do some of the things you do, and I just kept identifying out of the rooms, and that just kept me in my disease. And then I tried, like all of us are saying on the line, and a lot of people that don't speak probably are, have done, is all the different diet clubs and the magazines at the checkout stand, you know, lose, you know, 10 pounds by Christmas or whatever it was. And that's the great promise of every diet. It says the idea that somehow, someday, he or she would control and enjoy his eating is the great obsession of every abnormal eater. That is a diet mentality. And so, it, you know, and it's the promise of every diet. And yes, I lost weight on diets, but could I keep it off? No, I couldn't. As soon as I got it, most of it off, I would start back again. And that's what led me to the rooms. I remember telling my therapist after having lost the weight and starting to gain it back, I said, you know what, I think I have a problem with food. And I hadn't been willing to say that to her. I had been in therapy for 3 years. And she sent me to OA, but it took me years in OA to really, really get the insanity of this disease and how my mind will lead me to that first bite, which then I'm done. You know, I read yesterday in one of my notes, you know, once I get in the boxing ring with the disease, I'm done. I lose. The disease wins. So the deal is don't get into the boxing ring with the disease by working the steps, by connecting with my higher power. I read something this morning in one of my meditation books, or maybe it was last night, that you know, when I have an insane, when I have a troubling issue going on, and I've had many of them since my husband passed, that is God. I need to rejoice with that insanity because that's God telling me to connect. So I see my time is up and I'm going to pass. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Mo H. Terry K., you're up next, followed by Ann B. Please go ahead, Terry.
Thank you so much. This is Terry Kay, recovered and grateful to be here, and how perfect to follow Mo. Today's my birthday. I'm 56 years old today, and I don't usually share on this line. I'm not a shy person, but I always, I don't know, in most of my meetings, what I want to share comes to me right away. In this meeting, not so much, so I'm not really sure what I'm going to share, but I did want to you know, with regard to this particular part of the book, I grew up being told I was overweight, put on a diet, being told I had to have more self-control, willpower. So I knew there was something wrong with me, but I didn't identify the actual problem. I thought the problem was that I lacked, well, actually it was the right problem. I lacked the power, but I thought, I was told I had it and I wasn't using it. Like, you know, shame on you. Why aren't you using all that power you have? Where the real answer was, I don't have the power. That's why I can't use it. And decades of feeling horrible about myself, feeling ashamed, feeling just really uncomfortable in my own skin and feeling like I was a failure at this. And then I remember when I started this program, the person who walked me through the steps at first, we did these 30 questions in 30 days from the HAL program. And I remember answering the question about, you know, identify all the areas in life where you've been successful. And, you know, here you're writing all these things, and I'm writing all my areas of success and education and career. And then the question was, so if you could control and will yourself to achieve all of this, if you could achieve putting the food down and managing your food issue, wouldn't you have done that? And it was just this white light moment of, oh my gosh, I don't have the power. And I have to tell you, it wasn't, unfortunately, the beginning of my abstinence. I had to learn how to do that through this big book, but by turning that my will and my life over to that power. But what a relief to know that in my mind, I wasn't defective anymore. I mean, ironically, I was, but the defect I could handle because it wasn't my fault. You know, I didn't lack a skill that I was supposed to have. I didn't lack a power that I was supposed to have. And I could live with that. So when I truly embrace the fact that I am not a normal eater, the resentment, the jealousy, all of that just fell off, and I got some acceptance. But I have to just finish by saying I didn't get recovered then, because I only got recovered when I was willing to be completely honest and give away a fourth step to my my guide and
Central
not
reminder.
Hold back. Thank you. And so today my birthday present to myself is that I'm recovered and happily so, and I've got 18 months and 2 weeks of clean abstinence, but more importantly, I have freedom. So with that, I pass.
Happy birthday, Terry K. Thank you. Ann B., you're up next, followed by Chris W.
Hi. This is Andy. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm not a fan of that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. And I love this chapter because when I was reading the big book, this is the chapter I could relate to. This is where I could see myself. You know, I didn't have that kind of low bottom like Bill had where he couldn't work. I could work. But I did have this insanity. I could see it. I could see this business of, you know, I knew I couldn't control it. What I didn't know was that it was progressive and fatal. That was the part I didn't understand, which this this chapter helped me see. And that's why, even though I had recognized I was a food addict like 8 years before, I didn't go to program because I didn't realize it was progressive and fatal. But I certainly, when I read this, that insanely trivial excuse that, you know, why do I keep doing this? That really, I related to that. And this business of gates of insanity or death, that's such a dramatic language. And I always remember there was this program buddy I had who died top weight, 800 pounds. And that, you know, watching him die really helped me understand this paragraph about how lying to myself was the path to death. And you know, this whole business of this program being 100% rigorously honest. I was honest to other people, but I wasn't honest to myself. And there were many, many lies that I told myself. And one of the things I've learned in program is how to be more honest with myself, how to get in touch with myself, how to talk about what's going on with me, which I wasn't able to do before. And so I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Ann B. Chris W., you are up next, followed by Gloria S.
Hi, I'm Chris W. from Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm
Chris, something happened and we're not hearing you. Can you adjust your phone? Chris W., we lost you. Chris W.?
This is, yes, I'm having
Hi,
trouble.
Let's try that again. Okay. Please go ahead.
Chris W. from Nashville, Tennessee, and I am so excited to finally realize I am powerless over this, and I don't have to keep fighting to try to be like what I think other people are, and that, you know, I've been insane, even though I've lost half of my body weight. I'm maintaining like 115 pounds off, but I've been crazy, and I've been angry at people when they say, oh, you're doing this. You understand, you know, you have a spiritual connection. You're, you know, you're doing this right. And I would be angry because I'd be saying, I don't have it because I binge every single week. And it's only the grace of God that I've even lost the weight, let alone kept it off, because I've never kept off weight more than 5 seconds after I, you know, would do a diet. So I just have so much hope and excitement that I really can recover. I can't say I'm recovered now, but the obsession has lifted. And now I have to, I get to meet with my sponsor tomorrow and do the first three steps. And I'm, can't wait to get into the inventory and just keep going. But I'm so grateful that you guys are here. Pass.
Thank you very much, Chris W. And Gloria S., you're up next. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Gloria S., and I'm calling from Washington State, Southwest Washington. And today I can say I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, this paragraph just really hit home in a different way this morning. The part that says, the persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. And it just hit me this morning. 2 days ago, a friend of mine died, and she had had bariatric surgery about 10 years ago. And there were all these health complications because of that. And I remember being with her, and when she thought I wasn't looking, she'd be taking candy out of her cupboard and slipping it into her mouth. And, you know, this thing came up in me. I just celebrated a year of seamless back-to-back abstinence. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps, and it was to put down the food and then turn towards letting go of all the obstacles that are blocking me from having a conscious contact with God. And this thing came up in me, just a renewed recommitment to offer this to somebody else. I can't offer it to my friends, but I can offer it to somebody else. So I'm sorry for the emotion, and I will pass.
So sorry for your loss, Gloria. This is a deadly disease. Thank you, everybody who has shared, your stories, your experience, strength, and hope. It's so helpful and vital for recovery. We're going to transition the meeting now. It's just about, we only have about 1 minute left, so we'll use that to get numbers from newcomers and available sponsors in a few minutes. So we'll transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Brandy M. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered in Alberta, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to him that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you safe until then.